Would you open up with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. Over the past 10 years or so, I've had the opportunity to open up God's Word with you here on Sunday morning several times. And, of course, over the years, we've considered a variety of different topics related to the defense of the Christian faith. That's kind of where my heart is as a Christian apologist. Well, we're going to do the same thing today. The topic I'd like for us to consider this morning is New Age spirituality. What is New Age spirituality? What do adherents to New Age teachings believe? How do New Age views compare to biblical revelation, and how might we as Christians be better ambassadors of Christ to people who have embraced New Age teachings? Those are the four questions I'd like to answer in our time together today. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask God to bless this time, and then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, God, to know you. We're thankful for the Word of God, the Bible, that is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, we do pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit here today as we give consideration to an important topic. And Lord, we do also just lift up Pastor John down in South Africa. Lord, we pray for just a great, fruitful time of ministry there. We pray for good health. We pray for a safe return flight home here in a few days. And Lord, we also just lift up those on the East Coast who are battling the rains and the flooding there, a very difficult time for them. God, we pray that you'd be working there in the midst of that difficulty, and that you would bring about much good in the end as a result of this storm. So, Lord, we're thankful to be here today. Bless this time now in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what is New Age spirituality? Well, New Age spirituality is really a diverse blend of teachings from ancient religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Gnosticism, and the occult. Mix all of those together, and you have what is called today New Age spirituality, or more simply defined by some as just New spirituality. I'm sure you've talked to people, you ask them if they're religious or they go to a church, they say, well, I'm spiritual. That's very common. Well, a lot of them have adopted some of the views and teachings, whether they know it or not, out of what's called New Age spirituality. But despite its label, New Age spirituality is really not new. In fact, several of the popular beliefs embraced by New Age adherents can be found in basic form in the lies Satan told Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Notice with me, if you would, in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put it on the screen here for you. But it says, now the serpent, we're introduced to the serpent. We later learn in the Bible that this was Satan himself, a fallen angel. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Well, as you know, this is the grieving account of Satan misleading, deceiving Eve in the Garden of Eden long ago. But thousands of years later, Satan is still doing the same thing, even telling some of the same kinds of lies. As I said a moment ago, some of the popular beliefs embraced by New Age adherents today can be found right here in our text, in Genesis chapter 3. Notice again the lies Satan told Eve. In verse 5, Satan said, "You will be like God." Well, that is similar to the New Age view today on human divinity. And I'll talk more about these different New Age beliefs in just a bit. In verse 4, Satan said, "You will not surely die." That is similar to the New Age promise today of reincarnation. In verse 5, Satan said, "Your eyes will be opened." This is similar to the New Age promise today of enlightenment. And in verse 1, Satan asked, "Has God indeed said?" This is similar to the New Age challenge known as moral relativism. So Satan's still around thousands of years later, and he's still deceiving people with the same kinds of lies. These kinds of lies on the screen behind me, found in New Age teachings today, were introduced to people here in America and Europe for the first time back in the 1960s. It was then that a band known as the Beatles, perhaps you've heard of them, they were influenced by a Hindu spiritual guru by the name of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. They appeared with Maharishi on the news, at transcendental meditation conferences, seminars, and lectures, and even spent time with him in India in the late 1960s. From then on, in the West, there was a surge of interest in meditation, yoga, and Eastern philosophy. That interest continues to this day. Two of the persons fueling the ongoing acceptance and embrace of New Age concepts and practices are Oprah Winfrey and Deepak Chopra. By promoting the books of several New Age authors, Oprah has probably done more than anyone to promote New Age spirituality, and I'll be quoting her a bit later on. If you have not heard of Deepak Chopra, he's an alternative medicine guru, a spiritual counselor, and a New York Times best-selling author. By 1999, Time magazine had already hailed him as one of the top 100 heroes and icons of the century. His list of friends and admirers runs from Hollywood movie stars to the Dalai Lama. His 85 books, including 22 bestsellers, have sold millions of copies in English alone and have been translated into 43 languages. The Huffington Post Global Internet Survey ranked him as the 17th most influential thinker in the world today, and number one when it comes to medicine. Two of his best-selling books include The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success and How to Know God. Oprah has had him on her program several times, so he's very popular and unfortunately leading multitudes of people to embrace a New Age, unbiblical view of God and reality. What does Deepak Chopra teach people? What do New Age adherents believe? Well, of course, there are a wide variety of beliefs in New Age circles, but there are eight common beliefs that most New Age adherents have adopted. So I'd like to lay these out for you today and then just offer a concise, brief response to each one of them from a biblical perspective. The first belief most New Age adherents have is this, the belief that all is one. The belief that all is one. New Age adherents believe everything and everyone is interrelated and interdependent. Individuality is considered an illusion. Ultimately, to New Agers, there is no real difference between humans, animals, or rocks. All things are simply parts of or manifestations of one undivided reality, they say. Any differences amongst these entities are considered to be only apparent differences, not real. That belief is called monism. Monism, based on the prefix mono, which of course means one or single. New Agers believe we are one with everything. Everything. Even golf balls. In his book, Golf for Enlightenment, Deepak Chopra shares spiritual tips for improving your game, including be one with the ball. And you've been wondering all these years why you're still so bad at golf. This is the secret, apparently. We've been missing out. He encourages his readers to think this way because he really believes you are one with the ball. Deepak Chopra says you can talk to trees and stars. Everything, notice this, is part of your body. That's how connected you are. In fact, his newest book is titled, You Are the Universe. Not a part of the universe, not living in the universe. You are the universe. Well, of course, for those of us who believe biblical revelation, we disagree. God's creation is not an undivided unity, but a diversity of created things and beings. Creation is not unified in itself, but held together by God. Christ himself, the Bible says, who holds all things together. And I'll say more about monism momentarily because it's closely connected to a second belief common to New Age adherents, and that is, number two, if you're taking notes, the belief that all is God. The belief that all is God. New Age adherents believe everything that exists is God. This is called pantheism, based on two Greek words, pan, which means all, and theos, which means God. You put those two words together and you have what's called pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that all is God and God is all. Now, as we just noted, monism is the belief that all is one. Well, pantheism takes monism a step further. Pantheism is the belief that the oneness is deity, divine. What's this New Age deity like? Well, according to New Agers, God is more of an it than a he. New Agers reject the idea of a personal creator who exists outside of creation and exercises control and authority over his creation. Most New Age adherents believe that God is, cue the Star Wars theme song, a force. A force, an energy that pervades all things, contains all things, and is found within all things. In other words, the universe is God, and God is the universe. Well, in response to this monism and pantheism, of course, all of this is unbiblical. The Bible says that the heavens and the earth are creations of God. If you're still open to the book of Genesis, notice with me in Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse. Genesis 1, verse 1. Notice that it does not say, in the beginning, God was the heavens and the earth. No. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is distinct from the universe. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3, we're told that all things were made through him, a reference to Jesus, and without him nothing was made that was made. So the things that we see in the world around us are things that were made by God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, all things were created through him and for him. But notice this. It says there at the end of that verse, and he is before all things. So not only is God distinct from his creation, he was around before all these things even existed. Pantheism and the idea that the universe is God is unbiblical. But it's not just the Bible that has proven problematic for the pantheistic view of God. Scientific discoveries today have proven problematic for pantheism. How so? Well, scientific discoveries have demonstrated that the universe is finite. That is to say, it had a beginning. It's not eternal. Why is this a problem for our New Age friends, our Hindu friends, both of whom hold to pantheism? Well, pantheists have historically held that the universe is eternal. For them, it must be eternal, because if it's not eternal, that means it had a beginning. If it had a beginning, it must have had a maker, because things don't just pop into existence from nothing. And if the universe had a maker, the universe cannot be God, as pantheists believe. Well, this is precisely what we've discovered to be the case with the universe, that it did have a beginning. Scientists today are pointing to the cosmic background radiation echo, the second law of thermodynamics, and the motion of the galaxies, all of which have led them to conclude that the universe had a beginning. Well, this is devastating to the pantheistic New Age view of God. Surely the universe is not God, and pantheism is not true. So, New Age adherents believe in, number one, monism, the belief that all is one. Number two, pantheism, that all is God. A third belief that's common to New Age adherents is this, the belief in human deity. The belief in human deity, follow their logic. This all makes sense according to them. If all is one and all is God, then it logically follows from those two beliefs that we are gods. And that is what New Agers believe, that humans are divine. Joseph Smith's followers, Mormons, have long been telling us we can become gods. New Age adherents say we already are God. According to New Age adherents, there is no supreme being to whom worship is due because we are all supreme. Deepak Chopra says, quote, in reality, we are divinity in disguise, gods and goddesses in embryo, end quote. Oprah Winfrey said, one of the most important books I have read in my life is a book by Eric Butterworth, Discover the Power Within You. And what Eric Butterworth says in that book is that Jesus did not come to teach how divine he was, but came to teach us there is divinity within us, end quote. Eric Butterworth, whose books Oprah has promoted on her television show, says on his website, quite often I am criticized for saying that Jesus is not divine. Actually, I am not saying that Jesus is not divine, but I insist that all persons are divine. Jesus made the discovery of the divinity of man. He proved and demonstrated it in his own fulfillment, but the discovery was of the potential of all human beings. Shirley MacLaine, that famous actress and turned evangelist for New Age spirituality, said this in one of her books. She said, "I know that I exist, therefore I am. I know that the God source exists, therefore it is. Since I am part of that force, then I am that I am." In this quote, Shirley MacLaine hijacked the title, the name God revealed to Moses in the burning bush, and applies it to herself. She says, "I am that I am." And that is what New Age adherents believe, that they are divine. Everyone's divine. You're God, I'm God, we're all God. Your dog is God, the trees are God, the whole universe is God. That's pantheism. The lie Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden was that if she ate the forbidden fruit, she could be like God. Well, he's pulled off even a bigger deception in our time. He's convinced millions of people that they actually are God. Not like God, but they are God. What a deception. Well, in response to this, if there's one thing the Bible is clear on, it is this: humans are not God. The Bible teaches that humans are ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Paul said, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Did Christ die for you? Then you're ungodly. Not only were we not God, in our natural condition, we don't even behave consistently in a godlike manner. And Jesus tells us how ungodly we can be. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and following, he said, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." That is ungodly behavior. God is absolutely holy. What Jesus describes here in this passage is ungodliness. And this, of course, is what we see going on often in the world today. Those who believe that they are divine have made a serious error. All right, moving along. A fourth belief that's common to adherents of New Age spirituality today is this: the belief in the need for a changed consciousness. The belief in the need for a changed consciousness. For many New Age adherents today, salvation from sin and a coming judgment is considered totally unnecessary. What is needed, they say, is a change in consciousness. Why is that? Well, according to New Age proponents, we have forgotten that our true identity is divine. New Agers say that the human race suffers from a collective form of metaphysical amnesia. This is allegedly what has led many of us to be ignorant of our divinity. So what's the cure? Well, according to New Agers, we must undergo a change of consciousness to discover our divinity and then achieve our true human potential. That is the loftiest goal oftentimes for New Age adherents, undergoing a change of consciousness, discovering their supposed divinity so that they can achieve their true human potential. Well, that raises the obvious question: how does one go about achieving this change in consciousness? Well, New Age proponents encourage a variety of practices and techniques to enable a person to make that discovery. These practices and techniques include meditation, wherein the person seeks to achieve an altered state of consciousness, yoga. The poses and breathing are said to aid meditation and increase a person's awareness of their divinity. The use of crystals are often encouraged because they're thought to be great reservoirs of energy that can be released to purify our body and mind's energy systems. Channeling contacting spirit guides, creative visualization using mental imagery to imagine yourself in the presence of a divine being or being healed of sickness. Visiting psychics is often encouraged, past life therapy, acupuncture, and astral projection. Astral projection, what's that? That's allegedly training your soul to have out-of-body experiences. Well, brothers and sisters, their insistence that we need to do these kinds of things to remind ourselves that we are God actually helps to prove that humans are not God. For what kind of God forgets he's God? Not a God I want to follow. I'd rather follow the all-knowing, omniscient God who knows the number of hairs on every head in this building today and who the Bible says forgets not even the smallest sparrow. That's the kind of God I want to know. Yeah. Who wants to follow a God that has to do acupuncture and use crystals? You know, to remind itself that it's God. I mean, and in addition to that, many of the practices used by New Age adherents to realize their divinity are condemned by Scripture. Take, for example, the practice of channeling. For those of you who may not know what channeling is a practice wherein a person seeks to receive messages from angels or the spirits of the deceased through a person known as the channeler, who claims to be able to receive messages from the spirit world. Well, over and over again in the Bible, contacting the dead is condemned in Scripture. For example, God says in Leviticus 19 and 20, he says, "Do not turn to mediums or spiritists." That's what channelers were called back in Moses' day. There were people who sought to consult the dead. God says, do not turn to them. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Chapter 20, verse 6, God says, as for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, God says, there shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist or, notice that, one who calls up the dead. So channeling is just one of several New Age practices that we believe is dangerous and unbiblical. Now, obviously, more could be said about their other practices, and you can find some help regarding them on our website at alwaysbeready.com. We've got a whole section of the website dedicated to addressing New Age spirituality, including some articles on yoga. But if I don't at least briefly address yoga, people always want to know my opinion as soon as the service is over. So I will say this. Yoga, if you do not know, is deeply rooted in the pantheistic religion of Hinduism. The postures in yoga, the breathing and chanting were originally designed not to bring better physical health and well-being, but a sense of oneness with Brahman, the Hindu name for the pantheistic god that Hindus believe pervades all things. Now, of course, the God of the Bible is not opposed to you doing some stretching. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I encourage it. It's good for the human body. The danger, though, with yoga classes is not the poses or the stretching. It's the teaching that often accompanies the yoga class. Many yoga instructors have a New Age worldview. Not all of them, but many of them. And they're not just interested in helping you become more limber. They are seeking to teach you about becoming one with your surroundings, realizing your oneness with the divine, and so on. So this is what we're really concerned about. And this is why I advise Christians who are curious for my perspective on yoga, if they really feel like it's been beneficial to them in a health, you know, for the health of their body, I encourage them to consider just doing the stretches in the privacy of their own home. You've taken enough yoga classes by now to know all of the good stretches. You can do those stretches, those poses at home. And meditate on the Word of God and have some, you know, nice, mellow, instrumental hymn music playing or something. You'll have a much more fruitful time engaging in that activity, I think, in your house. Beat me up over that if you want. Talk about it later. I know there's a variety of opinions on that. But let's move along. There's a fifth belief that's common to adherents of the New Age. Number five, the belief in the oneness of religions. The belief in the oneness of religions. Most adherents to New Age teachings believe the world's religions are simply different ways of putting us in contact with the ultimate reality or God force. This belief is called religious syncretism. Religious syncretism. Many New Age adherents visualize the religions of the world to be a mountain with many spiritual paths up to the summit. According to New Age teachings, there is no one correct path. George Lucas, who does hold some New Age views of God, said, "I remember when I was 10 years old, I asked my mother, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? I've been pondering that question ever since, and the conclusion I've come to is that all religions are true. They're all synced up. That's why it's called religious syncretism. They're all true. They all basically teach the same thing." Oprah Winfrey said, "One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way. There are many paths to what you call God. There are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity." That is what New Age adherents generally believe, that all paths can reach the top. But what is the top of the mountain for New Agers? What is the goal? What awaits them at the top of the mountain? Well, often it's not everlasting life in heaven, as revealed in the Bible. The destiny New Age adherents usually have in mind is enlightenment, the realization of their divinity, then followed by an ongoing cycle of life, death, and reincarnation here on this planet. They're not looking forward to spending eternity like you and me in the presence of a holy, praiseworthy God. They don't even believe that kind of God exists. Their goal is just to become enlightened and undergo reincarnation after reincarnation after reincarnation. And I'll talk more about reincarnation in a couple of minutes. But when it comes to the top of the mountain or the end destination, according to the Bible, we learn that the summit or chief goal of life, according to the Bible, is not awakening the God within. It is knowing the God of heaven, the one and only true God in this life, and then, of course, throughout eternity. And to the top of that mountain, the Bible assures us that there really is only one path. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Months later, the Apostle Peter would affirm the very same thing that he had heard Jesus communicate. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." So the Bible is crystal clear on this. If you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to be rescued from spending eternity in hell, if you want to go to heaven, you must repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for your sins and rose from the grave 3 days later. He is your only hope. He is mankind's only Savior. the Bible says. And I think it's important to note that the Bible doesn't just make these kinds of claims and then expect you to believe them. The Bible demonstrates itself, unlike any other ancient religious writing, to be trustworthy. With hundreds of fulfilled prophecies, its amazing unity, its amazing scientific accuracy and foresight, thousands of archaeological discoveries, and so on. I've talked about these kinds of evidences here on Sunday morning during previous visits, so I won't rehash those now. I think most of you were here for those presentations. If you were not, they're probably archived on your church website, or you can stop by my table. We've got books and DVDs that can bring you up to speed on all of that. But because we believe the Bible is trustworthy, we reject this fifth belief of the New Age, the belief in the oneness of religions. Moving along, a sixth belief common to New Age adherents is this, the belief in reincarnation. The belief in reincarnation. Many adherents to New Age spirituality believe in an ongoing cycle of life, death, and reincarnation, similar to what Hindus have long believed. In contrast, though, with Hindus, New Age adherents rarely believe one will go on to become an animal or an insect in the next life. We've kind of glamorized reincarnation here in the West. In the West, most people who believe in reincarnation believe they are going to come back after death as a prince or a princess, something far more noble than, you know, a creature, a cow or something. And if you get into conversations with them, they always seem to think they were someone famous in a previous life. That's pretty interesting, too. Well, in response to this belief in reincarnation, we believe that reincarnation is unbiblical and untrue. The Bible knows nothing of reincarnation. Resurrection, yes. Reincarnation, coming back as another living creature, no. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. He said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs," all of those who have died, "shall hear his voice," God's voice, "and shall come forth, those who have done good, to a resurrection," not a reincarnation, but to a resurrection of life, "those who have done evil, to a resurrection of judgment." This resurrection will happen in a person's life only one time. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Seems to make that clear. It says there that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. So again, standing on biblical revelation, we reject the New Age belief in reincarnation. A seventh belief that's common to adherents of the New Age is this, the belief in moral relativism. The belief in moral relativism. Moral relativism is the belief that there are no objective, no real moral laws or sins. New Age adherents reject the existence of any firm, real moral laws that govern all humans. To many New Agers, truth regarding morality and spirituality is intensely personal and entirely subjective. And this flows directly from their pantheistic view of God. If we are all God, then how could any of us rightly point to some behavior and say, "Hey, you, breaking into that garage to steal that car, that's wrong. God doesn't approve of that." He must approve of it because that's God. Breaking into the garage, stealing the car, according to their view. So in their view, it's the height of presumption to think that certain behaviors are actually sinful or that there are rules or guidelines that are morally binding on all people. Now, that is not to say New Age adherents don't strive to live decent lives and even encourage others to do the same. They get very passionate about things that they think are right and wrong. They just oftentimes they don't want to impose it on, you know, someone else because, well, you might have a different perspective and we're all God and we're all trying to work this all out together. Well, in response to their moral relativism, the Bible, of course, teaches that there are absolute truths and moral laws that are binding on all people. The Bible speaks out very clearly in both the Old and New Testaments about lying, murder, stealing, adultery, drunkenness, kidnapping, and so on. So again, standing on the Bible, we reject moral relativism. According to the Bible, there are objective moral laws. An eighth belief that's common to adherents of New Age spirituality is this, the belief in a coming New Age. The belief in a coming New Age. Many New Age adherents believe the human race is slowly progressing toward a new age of peace and prosperity. This is where this movement gets its name, the New Age. This golden age, as it's also called according to New Age literature, will be a time without hate, violence, wars, crime, racism, sickness, hunger, or death. They believe that this will be a glorious time on earth, a time in which there will be one nation, one language, one government, and one religion. That's pretty interesting. Because the Bible says these are some of the very things that a coming political leader known as the Antichrist will seek to implement in the last days. You guys are going through the book of Revelation, I hear, here on Sunday mornings. I'm sure you're beginning to hear some about him. Well, what do New Age adherents believe will usher in this New Age? They believe this age will be ushered in when more of the human race finally realizes their divinity. They really believe this. Well, a world without crime and wars all sounds very nice. And the Bible does say that a glorious future is coming on the earth, but it makes it clear that it's not going to happen until the one and only divine King, Jesus, returns and sets up his kingdom on earth. And the book of Revelation tells us that this is going to be preceded by a time of great tribulation when God will pour out his judgment on a sinful world. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, Jesus said, "For then," speaking of this future time, "there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." That is what awaits the world after Jesus returns for his people and gathers us together at what is called the rapture of the church. Those who are expecting a new age to be ushered in as more people realize their divinity are in for a big shock. And I, of course, pray that they come to their senses and repent before it's too late. Now, what can we do to more effectively minister to people who have gotten entangled in New Age beliefs? Let me just give you a quick handful of concise suggestions. Number one, I would encourage you to be friendly. This goes without saying, probably, but it's an important reminder. We need to remember that people we disagree with are human beings whom God loves, and he desires that we love them as well. What does that look like in our conversations with them? 2 Timothy chapter 2 says that we're to be kind to all, patient with them, with gentleness, it says. correcting those who are in opposition. So God wants us to be kind to these persons, patient with them, gentle. We don't want to view outsiders, you know, people who aren't Christians, as the enemy. They've been deceived, the Bible says, by the enemy. They've been taken captive by the devil. He's blinded the minds of the unbelieving, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. So we want to be very compassionate on these people and view them more as victims of what the devil has worked in their situation. And this isn't always easy, but this is one of the reasons why God has given us the Holy Spirit, to empower us to be kind and loving and gentle with people. A second suggestion is this: seek common ground. Seek common ground. When I talk with people of other religious persuasions, I have found it helpful to discuss some common ground before I bring up any points that I disagree with them on. People tend to be more receptive to what you have to say if they know you share some common ground with them. With New Agers, you might point out that you agree with them in having rejected atheistic explanations for the existence of the universe. You might commend them on their love of reading or their search for the truth. Find something. Sports. Do you drink coffee? I mean, what do you like? There's got to be some common ground here. You can rally around that common ground for a bit. A third exhortation: ask questions about their beliefs. Ask questions about their beliefs. Just because a person's taking a yoga class or wearing a crystal or maybe reading a book by Deepak Chopra or some other New Age author, that doesn't mean that he or she is also a pantheist and holds to the beliefs of the average New Age adherent. So it would be wise for us to ask some friendly questions to get to know their spiritual beliefs better. Questions like, do you have any spiritual beliefs? You know, I noticed that you're reading this book. What are your thoughts about Jesus? What do you think happens to a person after they die? Their answers to those kinds of questions will help you get to know where they're at spiritually, but it'll also help you lead the conversation down more fruitful paths. Another exhortation: lovingly challenge them about the credibility of their beliefs. If your New Age friend can see that there are some problems with their view, he or she might be more interested to hear your perspective. And I think asking questions is a great way to lovingly and gently help a person see that there might be some flaws or weaknesses in their viewpoint. Questions like, how did you come to that conclusion? Why should I believe that? I mean, you think that we're divine, but why should I believe that? What evidence is there that that is true? Some other questions you could ask a New Age friend. If we are God, how did we become ignorant of that fact? How did that happen? If we are all God, why do so many people act so badly? Good questions to ask. A fifth exhortation: open God's word with them and point out to them what the Bible says. Now, you're probably not carrying your Bible around with you 24 hours a day, but you should all have a free Bible app on your phone. And if you get into a conversation with them, you can say, you know what, would you mind if I just show you what Jesus said on this? I mean, you think that all paths are leading, are putting a person in touch with God. Look at this passage here in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said here, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. God's word is alive and powerful, and God has been using it now for thousands of years to open the eyes of people who've gotten entangled in a variety of different false teachings. So use it, pull it out, and allow the Holy Spirit to work through it. And then finally, a sixth exhortation is this: be prepared to defend the trustworthiness of the Bible. Be prepared to defend the trustworthiness of the Bible. Many people who harbor New Age beliefs have had some exposure to the Bible, often as a child. But most of them have concluded that the Bible is not trustworthy. And so they're going to bring up objections with you when you start quoting the Bible. They're going to say, well, you know, the Bible was written by men and, you know, it's probably not true. Constantine tampered with it after it was completed, so it's got different books in it now and some books were left out, and it promotes slavery and genocide. It oppresses women, it promotes hatred of homosexuals, and New Testament authors stole all the ideas for Jesus' life from ancient religions that were around long before Christianity. These are the kinds of objections you're going to encounter when you start quoting the Bible to people. Now, you can find lots of help on our website. That website's been up for, I don't know, 15 years now. We have over 1 million visitors a month at alwaysbeready.com. Lots of free help there. Articles you can read, audio lectures you can listen to that will help you be prepared to answer these kinds of objections. One other resource that I'll close out by just briefly mentioning is this brand new book. It came out about 2 weeks ago. It's an updated, expanded third edition of a book that I first wrote in 2005. It's called 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics. I think several of you have bought a copy of it in years past. Well, 2 weeks ago, we just released a brand new edition wherein I tackle an expanded list. It goes through what I think are atheists and skeptics' top 50 objections to God and the Bible in a concise manner. I mean, you could spend years on our website, but if you feel like, man, you know what, maybe I could use a little quick help, you might stop by our resource table on the way out and peruse through the table of contents in that book. I think you're really going to enjoy it if you have the time in the coming weeks to read it. So thought I'd highlight that as we wrap it up. I'm nearly out of time. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll close with a song and then dismiss you. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the Bible. What a blessing that you have revealed yourself to humanity, not only in and through your Son, but in the pages of Scripture, God. What a blessing to know you. What a blessing to belong to a good church that stands upon the Word of God and to have brothers and sisters to fellowship with. God, I pray that you continue to do great things in this fellowship of believers, that you would continue to use them here in San Juan Capistrano and to the utter ends of the earth to reach people with the gospel. And God, we do pray for our friends and neighbors and coworkers who've gotten entangled in some or all of these kinds of New Age teachings today. Lord, we lift them up before you in our prayers. We ask for their salvation. We pray that their eyes would be opened up, that you would use Christians, that you would use us to reason with them, to love on them, to share the gospel with them, and that you would draw many of them to the truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.